podcast has changed my life.
That is lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
Will Smith apologizes to Chris Rock and Oscar viewers for slapping comedian. Did you see this? Did you see this?
You, Tom, texted me being like, have you seen this? Like 20 minutes after it happened. I don't think there's ever been a darker day for comedy than this day.
For a comedian.
We're at war. We're at war with actors.
We are at war. Yeah, but it's like, we're not only at war, it's like, we're always used as a pawn in the culture war, but now it's gone to another level, where it's not even cultural, it's like about respect and defending yourself. I asked my dad about it. I'm like, did you see this Chris Rock thing? And he said the only thing wrong with Will Smith was that he didn't use a closed fist.
Oh my God. Men are crazy. This is my...
psycho.
Alpha men are so nuts. It is weird that already, yeah, we are pawns in culture wars because there is, I suppose, as progressivism increases culturally, comedians are some people, they're often just like an example of someone that says something problematic or something as a kind of, I suppose it gets clicks, but it also is a way for people to discuss the new cultural issue. It's a way for everyone to figure out where they stand with it. But like comedians are used as like the entry point, even though we're like what? 0.01% of the population. Like there's not that much comedy, yeah, particularly in Australia. It's like the ratio of how much we're for how many people who come to the fucking shows is already wild.
It's because we're the only ones dumb enough to actually just speak out loud.
Yes,
and
publicly.
Now it's like,
yeah.
Totally. But also, the thing that I don't think anyone's spoken about, this whole Chris Rock thing, is that, like, he wouldn't have even written that joke. Like, someone... he would have had a writer that wrote
that joke for him.
Who's this writer that's just being, like, glad he took the heat
for that? Oh, my God. Can I... I mean, I've... yeah, had a bunch of jobs where I'm writing monologues for people, and then you go out and I'll watch. I mean, the one that was most consistent was on that show, Tonightly, where, like, I would help with... oh, sorry, I might... hang on, I'll close the door behind me.
Plane.
Yeah, I used to help Ballard with his... you know, I was one of the writers, and I would help him write his monologue. And pretty much every night I'd go and watch, because it's fun seeing which of your jokes go well and which of them go badly. But I...
yeah,
and so, like,
exactly.
When they get a laugh, you're like, yes, that one got a laugh. But, like, if one gets... someone stands up, one of the most famous men on the planet... stands up, marches towards the guy that you wrote the joke for, slaps him in the face in maybe the most disrespectful act I've ever seen in my entire life, and then struts back to his seat.
In the middle of the most prestigious
event.
Like, award thing. Not even award thing, maybe just event. Like,
yeah.
The Academy Awards might be the most prestigious event in the world, and he walks on stage, slaps the guy... I like the idea that the writer, the guy in the writer's room, because sometimes I've done this as well, you have to like fight for the joke.
Yeah.
Like the host or whoever's delivering will be like, I don't know about that one. You're like, trust me. This
20
is
minutes earlier, he's like, G.I. Jane 2. I know it's from the 80s, but it has staying power. People remember it. Okay. Well, name another bold reference. What are we doing? Stewie from Family Guy? Come on. G.I. Jane 2. And it's not very insulting. It was played by Demi Moore. She's an attractive lady. It's perfect.
Exactly. She's so hot. Yes.
She'll take
and
it
yeah,
as a
and then just watching it go. Because at worst, you're going to think no laughter, maybe a boo. That's as bad as it's going to get. You don't think an assault. You really don't think an assault.
Yeah, think of the writers. It's writers versus comedians versus actors. It is crazy. It is like an English essay or like a cultural studies essay when you're like in year 11, I feel like. Because it's... I remember, did you learn about lenses through which to analyze stuff in English? In school.
Oh, a lens. I still talk about lenses.
You
I'm
know.
Like, it depends what lens you look
exactly.
through.
Exactly. There's a feminist
I say
lens.
That so often. Yeah. There's an alpha dog lens, which I feel like...
there's so many lenses. I feel like that alpha dog lens is one that hasn't been talked about enough as well. I think that this event... so there's a first... I think it's very historically significant. One thing is it's the beginning of the end for comedians. We're done. Do you think there's going to be more physical violence?
It's just the beginning.
In like a normal comedy club?
Well, I've seen it once when I've done stand-up, but it was on like Rottnest Island and
yeah.
it was the gig was already... it was more of a pub brawl as opposed.
Yeah.
But I don't think... No, you've got to put in context, it's how specific it was.
Yeah.
He's made the joke in front of his wife. Oh, but you are right, because I do crowd work all the time, and I'm like, totally. You guys should break up.
Absolutely. And if, the Oscars, it's famously that's what happens me. As well. They're celebrity millionaires. They're some it's of the most roast. Powerful people on the planet. I will say it's not as roasty as like those Comedy Central roasts, and not even as much as the Golden Globes, because it is a classy affair, usually, the Oscars. So the jokes aren't crazy offensive. Usually, and to be fair, like this, the Chris Rock one wasn't great, and probably you know a bit like bad taste. But when you're sitting in the front, you're kind of consenting to some degree to some amount of ribbing. I would say it certainly wouldn't be surprising.
I would say ribbing is the right word. That's what the kind of host role. Mm. I guess he overstood the mark. But you know what the classy thing would have been to do if you were Will Smith. Is to bottle that feeling and go home and never talk about it again. No, it would be to...
and then just slowly, just stage. Over the course of the next 3 decades, take it out on your children in small, subtle ways by ignoring
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Take it out on Willow.
in their life. Like an Australian. How about you fucking deal with this like an Australian man?
Exactly.
Not an American man. Outlandish. Speaks their mind. No, bottle it up well.
I would have copped it and then looked over to my girlfriend, who in this scenario is bald, and she would have said, we'll talk about this when we get home, and then that's how the whole situation would have ended.
Totally.
No, Will Smith should have walked on stage.
I saw a comment that said, if he wanted to support Jada, he should have just held her hand and said, oh, I think you're beautiful, love, or something like that.
Even I'm like, that's a bit... Okay. That's like a cuck move. Yeah, okay. Like, I'm more of an alpha than that.
Yeah.
But he could have walked up and just whispered in Chris Rock's ear and said, get your my wife's name out
yes,
of your fucking...
Yes, totally. I think we could be here all day if we listed the more appropriate ways that Will Smith could have handled it. Imagine if he walked up and whispered in his ear, mate, I thought that was fucking hilarious. That's why I originally laughed at the joke. But clearly... Yeah.
But then seeing Jada, so. I think in hindsight, mate, if you could just apologise to... Yeah, exactly. We're also being filmed.
Exactly.
I'd love to punch you, but I think that would be inappropriate. But it's crazy watching the world go into meltdown over it. Like, because it looked... I've been slow-moing the slap. Because I still thought, up until he apologised today, it could have been a bit...
Well, this is the trouble. Because I've been really confronted by how people have reacted to it, because there's been way more pro Will Smith people than I thought.
It's crazy.
There's a lot
of assaulted a man.
Totally. I think it's a lot of like Twitter nerdy people who are like to imagine that they would also do the same thing. You know what I mean? So they're playing out a fantasy where they're tough as well. And they're like, yeah, talk shit, get hit. It's like, have you ever been hit? I feel like you haven't.
They're not the people that get hit. Yeah, it's like, it's crazy to... I saw someone being like, my wife is bald, so I say, go off king, Will Smith. Mm. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not an appropriate form of action. Like, what?
Totally.
You can't... It's not a movie. It's like a real event. Like, if that happened at your 40th, it would be it would be carnage.
Totally. I think that's the other thing that people kind of maybe can't separate reality from fiction in that way. I think one thing is because these are celebrities, they kind of don't think it's real. They don't appreciate that physical violence actually, like it would have hurt or something, because they're thinking about it in kind of like a hyper-real way because it's on TV and the people involved are so famous. But also I think the impact of it was kind of minimized by the fact that no one was sure whether it was real. Like everyone was watching it kind of being like, oh, is that fake? Waiting for that. So those original first few moments, you're not like, oh, whoa, is Chris all right? You're like, is Chris acting? You know?
Well, because he took it too well. That's the other... There's so many points to discuss.
He took
that
hands
slap.
Behind the back.
Unbelievably.
Just with a fucking grin.
He just ate the slap. It was like a boxer just copping
totally.
It.
Totally.
And then he was ready. And then he's up. And now he's already... Then he starts talking back. And he's like, it's a G.I. Jane Joe. Like, he's already... I would have been on the ground.
It was a hard slap.
Yeah, I would have been like, you hit me.
Yeah.
It was so hard.
Totally. In my mind...
The guy who played Muhammad Ali in a movie. He trained for 10 months to play Muhammad Ali.
He did. Oh, I feel like that's kind of what you do, though, because... You do see bits where people rush the stage or something at these events quite often. And I was thinking, like, if it's me, you make the joke, you see, then you're a bit aware that it's maybe too far. And so you kind of would be looking at the people that you're talking about to see how they reacted. And then all of a sudden he's marching towards you. In your mind, I think you'd just be like, yeah, look, this is Will Smith, he's an actor, he gets entertainment. Whatever he's got planned coming up here, it's like his move next. Like, he's got to decide what this, sure, what this bit looks like. That's what I think I'd be thinking. So I think I would be like, all right, what's the move? And then for the I'd be so surprised. The slap in the face, you'd be like, what? Oh, fuck, it's actually like the fuming. What? Here? That's crazy. It's just actually crazy.
Not here. Of all places, you're going to... It is like you can't...
It's like, who
I know it's
that?
Like there's more important things going on, yeah, in the world. Like, a lot of people are like, today 12,000 people died in the Ukraine. I'm like, yeah, but Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the fucking Academy Awards.
We grew up with these people.
Wars have had...
Since I was 10, I've known both of these guys. And like... I
thought they'd be buddies as well.
I reckon, I mean, that's, I think, a big part of what has like shaped this for me, because I've been thinking about the lenses that are most relevant for me, and I feel like one is the comedian lens of like, you obviously you put yourself in the shoes of the guy that's doing a bit, even if you don't necessarily agree with, yeah, what he said, you're like, that's not an excuse to escalate it to just bitch slapping someone in front of the world. Like, it's so...
But are we saying that because now we're scared for our, like, I'm scared now that someone might walk on stage and hit me.
Are you really? Yeah, I feel like I think that's also what happens with these conversations, is that on places like Twitter, you see people reacting. And then if a bunch of people react in certain ways too much, then you see that and you kind of try to correct the other way. So I originally did wonder that, but then I've seen too many comedians too scared of like, oh my God, I'm not safe. And now I'm like, oh, fucking get over it.
No, only in the context of like not doing normal jokes, but in the context of talking to people in the, yeah, room. I think that is the situation now. Well, I mean, maybe not. Like, it would be psycho. Because, like, if that happened at a normal stand-up gig, there would be, like, a partner there screaming at the boyfriend for hitting. Like, it would be mortifying,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
For it would be, absolutely,
partner to go on stage. Like, Jada can't be stoked with Will Smith right now.
Well, it's...
I reckon she would be annoyed at
it. It's fucking brutish behavior. It's like you... It's, as adults, you're meant to regulate your emotions and not engage in violence. It's like... basic shit. And this, that's the other interesting thing about the support that you've seen for it, because it's like we're at this time and where there's so much conversation about toxic masculinity, but then there's also other conversations about, yeah, like she has a disability. I mean, it's technically not a disability, it just means you go bald, but alopecia, it's not a medical,
yeah,
disability, it just means you go bald, which is no good, but it's like, it's not,
it's not a disability, but it is a medical condition.
It is a medical condition, which, yeah, she can't change, so you shouldn't make fun of it, I suppose. But yeah, that's not...
But if you look at the feminist lens, mm, it then becomes an issue of, like, you know, degrading women and their standard,
yeah,
of beauty that women,
talking about
in Hollywood,
a woman's
are maybe
beauty,
upheld to.
Exactly. Plus, add some medical condition in there. And then plus the narrative now around like free speech. I think people are kind of over comedians making edgy jokes. That's just a bit passe now. Like, add all those together. And now people are pro like the most toxic masculinity event I've ever seen in my life. Just a man. Not only the slap wasn't the craziest thing for me. It was the sitting down and being like, keep my fucking wife's name out of my... It's like,
dude,
just the most alpha...
Dude, that was aggressive.
It's like a psycho millionaire celebrity who's been famous since he was a teenager, who's just like so crazy with power. It was like a king in like a Shakespeare play or something, screaming.
And because he was sat up front, it was like... So it was
exactly,
like he was performing for the king.
It was!
Like a jester just in,
like,
front of the king.
Exactly.
And then the king didn't like it, so the king went up and slapped him.
Exactly.
And yelled... It's like hard to know whether he did care about it or he did like the idea. Maybe he was just overcome with that much rage and then did it and saw red. Because, I mean, I think no one could have that little critical thought to not know what they would, the ramifications of what they were doing, slapping someone.
Yeah.
Knowing the entire world will see it.
I feel like that's your job, though, particularly if you're at an event, but also just at any time, is to regulate your emotions. That's like, yeah. That's why I don't like this rhetoric around... You're not responsible for how someone else makes you feel based on what they say. It's like you're not responsible for how you feel always, but you're responsible for how you act on how you feel. And so, like, he's responsible for not,
yes,
being violent. And it is curious how angry he was. Like, he laughed originally. I mean, it's classic. I think you just feel obligated to stand up for your wife. Like, And that's like a masculine thing. You're like, I've got to stand up for my wife. But he also did a fucking lame strut when he walked back to his chair, which was like, yeah,
that's
he thinks
he kind of looked like a joke.
He thinks he's being cool. Like, he just feel, yeah, he was, as Denzel said to him, it's like, the when you're at your highest, that when that's when the
you
devils
there?
Come.
Were you next, as Den.
Did you hear that quote?
Is that what Denzel said?
Denzel apparently said to him, when you're at your highest, that's when the devils arrive. And he was, probably did know
is that
he
how
was
these
gonna
fucking guys talk.
Yeah, exactly.
If you had just been in a fight, I would not come up to you and say, the harder, the higher you soar, Tom, the harder you will fall.
Thou doth protest like, against the gods, and the wind may shine against the victor. It's like, oh man, can you just
get me a Powerade? I'd be like, he's not fucking worth it, dude. Calm down.
But like, I feel like, yeah, he would have been so hyped up of, like, he's going to win his first Oscar. All the attention. I think he's all, there's also this background of like he's in an open relationship and has copped shit for that. I think lots of people have been making fun of him for his wife sleeping with different people, which maybe he feels sensitive about.
Are they still open?
I don't know. I don't care. I mean, that's the other thing for me is I just don't like Will Smith that much. Like, he's corny. He's like this psycho actor guy, whereas Chris Rock is like a, I don't know, he's a bit better at least.
Chris Rock's one of our guys.
Yeah.
But that's what, that's the other, one of the other fallouts I've seen. And I was on Twitter yesterday for the first time, like, solidly for like.
There's, I've never seen more opinions in more different directions in my life. It was so overwhelming.
Totally. But I thought, and I know, like, comedy is splintered now, but I thought there was some part of it being like, we've got to,
yeah,
we're all going to be team Chris Rock.
Totally.
I thought we'd all be team Chris. We've all told a bad joke.
No.
And it hasn't gone well. But I can't believe how many people turned on Chris. Like, people are writing articles.
Totally. Well, I suppose in America, the comedy community is so splintered between people who, like, are like, I say what I want and I'm a bad boy. And then on the other side, like,
yeah,
no,
more
that's
extreme.
That's,
totally.
That's bad. You shouldn't say anything that offends anyone. And it's like, you can't, there's nothing in the middle, it seems. So, yeah, all the people that were like pro offense were like pro Chris Rock, which is weird because they're more the kind of like fighty guys. They're the, that's the more masculine. So they were anti the masculine slap. And then the more kind of like progressive, like, oh no, we shouldn't offend anyone, kind of like soft kind of people, they were pro the slap. So it was all, it's like the cognitive
dissonance.
Everyone
was on the wrong side. Everyone was on the wrong side.
But I feel like the most, I suppose, relevant component to what happened is just like what celebrity and power does to a man. I feel like the confidence to not, because I just personally don't love alpha fucking flexing anger, like argy-bargy bullshit much. I find it all a bit boring and kind of sickening when it gets violent. Not sickening with a slap. I wouldn't call a slap sickening. Bit funny, let's be honest. But you
that
know,
is the other thing that was not a closed fist. It's a whole different.
Yeah, like whole yeah. Different. But I think some people as well have been kind of minimizing how humiliating being slapped in the face is. It's like spinning on someone or something. It's like if a man comes up and just slaps you on the face, it's like fucking hell, like that's it's emasculating.
Oh, it's crazy
in a crazy way, particularly on TV in front of everyone. What's Chris Rock gonna
ruin,
do?
No, it'll be fine. It would ruin an actor's career, but like Chris Rock in particular, he'll open his next special and he'll just be like,
I mean, yeah.
I got slapped by Will Smith. He'll just keep saying it over and over.
I suppose
I got motherfucking slapped by Chris Rock.
I don't know. I think he, I mean, he looked, that's another thing that I didn't like about it. He looked so sheepish and he was kind of.
He was like apologizing. He was like, dude, calm. He's like, okay, I won't.
And he was saying the incorrect words and stuff. He kept saying, oh, this next documentary, I mean, this
concussed.
Next. Like, use your words, mate. Nah, but like, yeah, it did affect him, obviously. Maybe it was just the physical force. But I do worry that he would feel a bit kind of emasculated, basically. And like, what?
The other thing is, all those jokes would have been cleared by the Academy as well. Mm.
Well, they didn't
not
clear
to
it with Will.
Chris Rock entirely.
Yeah, I mean, I think the joke was like, I mean, G.I. Jane. So I've never heard of that
it's
movie.
It's just nothing.
It's like, come on. Oh, really?
Well, I didn't really get the reference. I hadn't seen the
neither.
Movie.
Neither. I assumed it was a bald person in it, though. And it's like, oh,
that's
okay.
All I knew. I could put two and two together. I'm like,
exactly.
Clearly a bald person.
Yeah, yeah, Australians are really good at doing that, putting together American jokes from like watching The Simpsons and Family Guy and stuff
oh,
as a
it's
kid.
Our life.
It's like, I don't understand the setup for most jokes, but I understand. I think that's how I learnt joke structure. Because you have to think more about joke structure if you have no fucking clue what president they're referring to. But you have to like work out backwards why it's funny based on the punchline.
But I think an American, if they watched an Australian and then were forced to do that, would just stand up and be like, I don't understand exactly. Australian yeah. shit.
Yeah, they'd be like, boring.
Okay, this doesn't make sense to me. I'm not from your country.
Why they're speaking so slowly.
Oh, God. Man. Anyway, I've had some drama this week. I was at the gym the other day. Maybe speaking about weird aggression that is just seeping into society.
He is the link. Because it's gone to the dogs, this world.
No, but I think everyone wants to be like, to make a stand about something. Do you know what I mean? Like just to be like morally right, maybe. And I don't know why. Maybe it is because everyone is so visible in what they do and they consume now. So it's like, you know, people post black squares or they're like, this is the charity I'm donating to, blah, 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 on their social media. So now people are trying to do that maybe in everyday life. I don't know. But, okay, you've been to the gym before.
I've been to the gym a few times before. Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm at the gym. I'm doing deadlifts, right? And I've got weight loaded up on the deadlift bar or whatever. And I'm doing them, whatever. I finish and I start unloading the weight, but I don't know like how much weight I've taken off or whatever. And there is like some etiquette at the gym that you put the weights back. And I always put the weights back.
Hang on, so you've got a bar in between the weights?
Yeah. And like then, a deadlift bar.
Yeah. And then you're meant to take the weights off both sides of the bar so the bar's just by itself. Is that what you're meant to do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I feel
pretty
like
much.
I'm always seeing those bars with like some weights on them.
Dude, totally. Because people use them. People want the one weight.
Yeah, but it's a pretty standard weight. Yeah.
Totally. Anyway, I did the other day and then like I thought I emptied it all off, but I guess I didn't because I get home and also, this is an hour after I've been to the gym. I get a voicemail. This is the voicemail. I'm going to play it. All right? Are you ready?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to play it into...
calling from Anytime Fitness in Newtown. Just checking in to see how you are, as I noticed you left 40 kilos on the trap bar after you did deadlift. So, hoping you're not injured and that your back's all right, because I can't think of another reason why you'd leave the... trap bar loaded like you did today. Anyway, hope you're okay. Let me know how you're feeling. Thanks, mate. Bye.
Is that not the most psycho thing you've ever heard
in
your life?
Oh, my God. People are crazy.
That's crazy.
That is the most passive-aggressive thing I've ever heard in my life. Instead of just being like... because I think it's crazy to even call for such a small infraction.
100% it's crazy to call. Insane to call.
She's the manager of the gym and she's calling everyone who leaves like a little weight on the thing. I feel like if you called, you could do it like, sorry, I know it's a bit weird I'm calling, but we're trying to enforce more strictly our etiquette that we have at the gym about not leaving the weights on. If you could just think about that next time, that'd be great. Can't wait to have you back at the gym or something. That you'd still feel like, oh, that's weird. Why are they calling
you'd
me
be
like specifically? But like to act like you're injured, she's like, are you okay? Do you have a disease which makes you do wrong things?
What hospital are you at right now? I'll come and visit you because your back must have seized up.
Have you been diagnosed with a brain thing where etiquette doesn't make sense to your mind and you have to do the opposite of what's acceptable even though there are signs on the walls? Is that the new type of brain issue you have? I'm so sorry. I'm going to send a get well card because of your non-etiquette following.
I should
disease.
Have just written back and said I am so unwell. I have depression. I'm so sorry.
I'm very anxious, actually, and paranoid.
My anxiety is through the roof.
Random people are calling me at random times for really, really small infractions.
So this is an hour after I've left the gym. I get this phone call, by the way. And yeah. I missed it.
Have you ever interacted with this person?
Never met her, ever. Wow. Oh, no, like I've said hi.
You've
but
said
like,
hi.
I don't know her.
Can I say something
like
that
I've
might be a bit controversial?
Said, hey, how's it going?
I reckon you've, like, I mean, obviously you've pissed her off, but have you pissed her off before this? This seems like something you do to a repeat offender. I'm sorry.
I have no idea. So, yeah, I mean, I've been a member there for so long and never had any problems whatsoever.
You're a long-term member.
Maybe I have. Well, I don't know, but like, all this is what I think's happened.
Mm.
She's walked past, seen two plates still on this deadlift thing,
yeah,
and she's enraged. Something's happened. Something. She's probably sick of picking stuff up at the gym.
I mean,
she's
furious, clear.
And she's like, it stops today. Yeah. And then she's gone on the CCTV footage to find out who used it last.
Yeah.
Watched me not unload it properly. And then she's like, looked up my details and then been like, I'm going to let him fucking have it. But I don't think she would have just gone one. Because if she was enraged, it would have been like, enraged, it would have been like, you dog, fucking put the things back on. I spent all my time. But instead, I think she centered herself and was like, how do I?
Oh, of course.
How do I get the message?
She's at work. She can't call people and be like, you dog, fuck. You come into my place of work.
You fucking
I'm going to kill you.
You piece of shit, clean up. This is not your fucking gym. But I am a member also. It's like, what happened to the customer? I literally pay her money every week.
Totally. Which doesn't mean, I mean, look, I'm not familiar with the etiquette. But if that's the etiquette, it sounds like you should do it. So, like, I'm not a fan of the excuse. People use it with putting the trolleys back in the car park. I'm not a fan of the excuse of, oh, you know, there are people who sort that out. It's like, yeah, but you could make their lives easier, and like, it's your kind of job to put it back, and then they take it from there up, just because they can sort out the problem. Because then I think you're on a slippery slope to throwing trash on the ground at like a Westfield food court and being like, there's something.
This is crazy. There's no slippery slope.
There is a slippery slope. As soon as you start justifying behavior by the fact that there's someone employed to fix the problem, then you may as well shit on the ground at the airport in the bathroom.
No. I'm not saying she should pick it up. I should have put the plates back, but what I've left is not an issue because you would use those plates anyway. So the next person coming along would have probably
just
used
it.
In fact, the guy did ask me.
Okay,
yes,
now you've made up a guy.
Are you done? I'll use it after. No, he did say that.
Let's see whether there was this guy on the CCTV.
Yeah, well, get me in.
I'm going to call the Anytime Fitness and see if there was actually a guy.
But it's the trolley analogy you used is so incorrect. Because if you didn't put a trolley back, imagine if then the boss of Woolworths rang you being like, you must have broken arms because otherwise I can't think of a single reason why you wouldn't put
I would actually be pro that. I would like that. So this is, I'm not too familiar with the etiquette here because I don't go to the gym enough. But if the guy from Coles called me and was like, you should have put the cart back, I'd be like, fair cop, I should have. He's got me. Full respect.
You're not paying. Yeah, but you're not paying to use the car park. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, okay,
it's like,
yeah,
I am a member of that gym.
Yes,
and I do get it, but I've also been doing the right thing there for so long.
Yeah.
A simple, hey, this is what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Let's get better at
I agree. I don't think it's as bad as an infraction as not putting your cart back in a car park. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think she's...
Well, anyway, now
it's crazy. People are so passive-aggressive. And I think people get carried away with passive-aggression because they trick themselves into thinking that the other person doesn't know what they're doing or something. They're like, oh, if I don't say fuck you, then it's all fine. And they're like, oh, you must be sick. It's like, we know what you're doing. Like, it's nuts. And it's like,
well,
aggressive.
Well, that's so... I had a few choices of response. The first one was just to be like, to ring her up, not apologize for the weight thing and just
hey,
actually I'm not sick in any way, but thanks for checking in, really appreciate it.
I'm not sick to call her
and then play her game
and give you just like pretend that you think she's serious, pretend that you're some sort of psychopath
to do the
who hasn't picked up on the dripping passive aggressive tone message.
The second option was to be like, hey, actually, I'm at RPA right now. Thanks for checking in. I think we need to fill out an incident report.
Yes.
I fucked my back using your equipment and machines. And I guess you didn't run me through how to use it properly. You've actually acknowledged you saw me using your equipment at the time and you've got it documented in this message.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, we'll have to get the insurance involved that obviously...
Man,
in
after my own
your
heart,
premiums,
threaten
your
legal
premiums are
going to
go through the roof.
Sewer. Anyone crosses you, mate, you figure out a way to get her in court.
You call Tom Cashman and bring the cold hand of the law down.
Oh,
on
you think you're annoying? I know the most annoying guy in the universe. That's not a bad... I mean, that's the way to make that fully work, I suppose, would be to somehow link. Because it'd be good to imply that if she hadn't left such a rude voicemail, then the injury wouldn't have happened.
Well, no, I would have been like, I didn't realize there was a link between my injury and doing the deadlift, but now you've pointed it out.
Yes.
That.
Oh, that's great. Sense. And actually having on record would be fantastic for my case.
Yeah. And that you saw me in there and didn't rush to my aid to check if I was okay.
And now I know that you saw me. Oh, that's perfect.
And there is a duty of care. I know you have first aid certificate. And at one point did you ask me, I had to hobble down to RPA to get into the hospital.
And it's good that you acknowledge that you noticing that I hadn't taken the weights off is an indicator that an injury must have taken place. And you took up to an hour to call me. You should have called me within the minute.
An hour. Yes, exactly. You waited for me. I could be dead within the hour. My back could have seized. They could have amputated my legs within that time.
Okay, that's pretty good.
And the third option, this is what I went with. I put it on social media.
Ooh.
And which I don't know if was the smartest option for my long-term future at that gym.
Yeah.
Someone has tagged Anytime Fitness.
Oh,
Newtown,
interesting.
In the comments, so I do think they've seen it.
Right. And no response. Like, you're not tempted to call and, like, combine that option with one of the others or just, like...
No, that would be crazy.
I feel like I would call and ask and just be like, what's happening? Why? Why are you calling people like this? Like, are you okay? Like, just spin it on her. Are you sick? What's going on?
Dude, that's crazy. Funny if I'm like, I just use her script back at her. I'm just like, hey, just checking in to see if you're okay, like medically or injured, because I can't think of another reason why you would call someone like this if you weren't suffering some kind of crazy mental episode in your life at the moment.
Exactly. Something must be going on. Are your pets all right?
Do you think there's a breach of trust? Like, are you allowed to put voicemails online?
I think you'll be fine, but I feel like you owe it to your social media following and to me to interact again with this woman and clear up, like, what happened. Like, I feel like you need to clear the air. She clearly doesn't like you.
She's clearly not happy. Yeah. Well, I don't think she would like me now because I then haven't responded. I haven't responded in any way to it. I just put it on social media.
Yeah, but I don't think you owe her a response. Like, this was not a good faith reach out about your health. it's not like she's like, I've been waiting up for you every night. I can't get to sleep because I'm so worried. Like, she doesn't actually care. She's
Yes, she would follow up with it if she, because I haven't heard, like, I haven't responded. This is like 4 days ago now.
Yeah.
That was the only time she's reached out. If she was worried, she would have reached out even further.
If she was worried about you.
Or she would assume I'm dead. She would have contacted my next of kin. Is he still with us? Is he still kicking?
Imagine, you get another call, just the most warm voice of just like, Sam,
hello, baby.
I assume that...
How are you?
Because you haven't responded, that you must be so sick that you can't even reach for your phone. And I hope that the doctors at the very least will, get your phone out and look through your voicemails and play them to you as a way to get you through this tough time. And I love you. I've been looking at you. You come into the gym. I think you're so strong. And
well, that would be a huge curve.
40 kilograms, did you say?
If she was negging me.
40
kilograms? No, it's deadlifting more. That's what a lot of people, because I played it, a lot of people commented and picked up the wrong part. They thought I was playing a voicemail to like brag that I could deadlift 40 kilos.
Yeah, is that impressive?
I had proof from the lady. No, I mean, no. That's just like probably the base level. But anyway, that's not... But a lot of people are like, 40 kilos, nice one. I'm like, you're missing the point of the crazy woman.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
That's
when
leaving me a voicemail.
That's why you've
got to
make sure there aren't brags in any story. When I tell a story, I'm very meticulously thinking ahead to make sure there's no brags in there. No, like to get rid of things that could be... Because people get distracted by brags. Like, oh, was that a brag? At least in Australian culture.
Totally.
So you should have bleeped it.
It highlights...
Beep, kilos.
Bleep the way.
Hello, this is beep.
I should have bleeped it and then I would have put in 200. My series voice over the top.
Can you believe this woman calling me the nerve?
To say you lifted 200 kilos. We've never seen anything like it. You own the gym now. The gym's yours. I think it's touched a nerve with people. A lot of people have messaged me about it because I think it highlights a fear that we all have.
Yeah.
And the insecurity we all have about going to the gym, that someone's watching you.
Totally.
And then a lot of people, like, I guess Say, no one's watching you. You do your own thing. Everyone's in their own little world. And to some extent, I believed that and thought that was true.
Yeah.
But now I know that is in no way the truth.
Mm.
And if they're watching you at all times and judging you, and if they can call you about putting... Who's to stop them calling you to be like, hey, I noticed the form you were using
on bench press today. That's next.
Really bad and embarrassing. And, yeah, you must... be so ill.
Okay. It always comes back.
Please
to
let
the,
me know
some sort of medical issue.
Who's your GP? I would love to talk to, because the way you do shoulder press is the worst I've ever seen. The way you swing a kettlebell, horrific.
Pathetic. I think it's possible she's negging you. I feel like pretending someone's sick.
You think she likes me?
Is the new neg?
That's not bad. You know, some people like that. Their kink is like looking after people.
Totally. Well, I have COVID-19. I have COVID-19. This is the other takeaway. Is it just me, or is everything happening now seems like fake? Like it feels like hyper real or something. It's like more extreme things.
Dude,
keep
you know
happening.
What? It's like we're witnessing history. That's what it's actually like.
Fuck off. No, it's like we're in a simulation. It's like...
I was thinking about simulations a few days ago. Like, I was waiting on McDonald's in the drive-thru and then just thinking about, like, when people are like, this world is a simulation. And I really don't understand, but it's like scientists have... Aren't they, like, pretty sure this is us, a version of a simulation?
No, fuck off. I hate that. I don't know. I forget
that there's like a million different possibilities, and this is most likely. I feel like I've heard people say that this is most likely a simulation.
Yes. And I forget their logic. I think maybe their logic is that if in this world we get the technology to do a simulation, then what are the chances that our world is the first world to do that? Because if that's possible,
right,
then what's the chance that we're not a fucking someone else's simulation? But
yeah,
but that's just, I don't love that logic, because it's like you're zooming out and making up hypothetical other people. It's like, yeah, we could be the first because we're only us. Like, you can't see.
But I think, yeah, totally. I think we are the first of everything.
I mean, it feels like
aliens.
That. It feels pretty.
Dude, I think we're at the cutting edge here.
Yeah.
And we're, not to be like you, but we're witnessing history, and everything we're doing right now is historical because no one else has ever done it.
And the simulation to me would be more sleek. It's like, you know, when you get into your car and you've got your headphones on, you've got to take them out, but then they get tangled with your keys, and then you've like, oh, you've got to take like your wallet out
totally.
Of your pocket because that is all squishing you, and then you kind of accidentally get your headphones caught on the handbrake, and then then you get frustrated and like, fuck. Does that happen in a simulation? Like, the simulation is sleek. It's like... Choo, choo.
Make it awesome.
Exactly.
Make it sick. Don't do this. If this is a simulation, how shit must the real one have been?
Exactly. Come on. Like, don't give us weird little, like, toe hairs and stuff. Like, there's all this stupid stuff. The minutiae is
big
so
dicks.
Real.
Big dicks.
That's what praying
perfect,
is.
Perfect buttholes.
Praying
and
is
just
like...
All
going to like the people who make the programmer who does the simulation, who might just be watching your bit, being like, please, can I have a big penis? Please, may I have a big penis? And then every now and then,
dude, but
the programmer is watching and being like, oh, lol, that guy wants it. Oh, I'll give it to him. Yeah, yeah. And then people are like, it's a miracle.
It grows. Yeah,
it's a miracle.
Yeah.
Praying
but
works.
Maybe in the real one, they all had just the tiniest penises. And then... In this one, we all have gigantic penises in comparison
totally.
To the original.
And that's why, like, the simulation needs to make a simulation.
Yes. And maybe because I'm like, why would you make shit smell so bad in the simulation? Like, as in poo.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe what was coming out of their ass was like...
their ass.
A million times worse.
But then that makes it... But shit, I think evolutionarily it's good that shit smells bad, because that's so you don't eat it, isn't it?
Yeah, so totally, so you don't eat it. But, like, I mean, we're not eating it how it smells now, but it's like... yeah. I mean, some people are.
No, you could fucking actually...
So you think...
I agree, you could wind it back now. Like, we get it. Like, for caveman times, we probably needed a reminder. But now...
Totally. But now it's like, you don't have to We just won't do it. Just we know what's in it.
We promise. We promise.
We promise.
This is you just make praying it smell. On your bed. I promise I won't eat my own shit if you just make it all.
It smells like air freshener.
Just make a little bit. No, not air freshener. You know, that's aiming too high, but just less shitty. Just like
less
half
shitty.
As much.
That's all
shit.
I want it. But dude, think about how bad it would have been in the simulation.
Your girlfriend comes in like, what are you praying for? Oh, you know, our love to be beautiful forever.
This goddamn war in the Ukraine to end also.
She closes the door. I wish my shit didn't smell so bad. Just please, I promise I won't eat it. I promise to God, please.
I just wish I could go to the toilet in a one-bedroom apartment and not feel humiliated and ashamed.
Podcast has changed my life.
Dan, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.